Good to everybody, and welcome to the Motzei Shabbos here for Parshas Miketz. Wish everybody a good Chodesh and a Frelch and a Chanukah as well. And since we're in the waning days of Chanukah, tomorrow night, of course, the last night, I thought once again this evening I'll speak about a subject relating to Chanukah, although not in the realm of Hilchas Chanukah so much, since we're almost done with the holiday, but rather something about the heroes of Chanukah. I actually spoke about it many years ago, but this will be a different angle. And that is relating to the Chashmonaim. Again, as I said, the heroes of Chanukah. Who exactly the Chashmonaim were and where that name comes from is somewhat shrouded in mystery. We don't know Chashmonaim. Today, there's a town in Eretz Yisrael called Chashmonaim in the area near Modi'in, which is where the Chashmonaim family came from, Matisyo and his family in that area. So there is a town called Chashmonaim. Was that a town in that area? Was there a town in that area at that time also with that name? Is that where the name comes from? It's somewhat, somewhat obscure. We also don't know exactly the origins of the family in Alanisim. We say Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Was Matisyo himself a Kohen Gadol? Was he the son of, or perhaps descendant of some Kohen Gadol named Yochanan? Not all so clear. But nevertheless, I would like to speak about that family, the Chashmonaim. And if we know a little bit about the history, Jewish history of that period, in the generations subsequent to Chanukah, unfortunately, the descendants of the heroes of the Chanukah story became villainous characters. A gentleman by the name of Yanai HaMelech, according to the Gemara, was a troublemaker, was a difficult person, and was not observant of Torah and mitzvahs and so on. But in any event, what I'd like to entitle the shir, did the Chashmonaim take a wrong turn after Chanukah? I'd like to specifically refer to one thing which the Rambam does not seem to say is a problem. The Ramban does. And that is relating to the following. First, we'll begin with the famous Gemara in Shabbos, the first source, Chaf Aleph Medbeis. The Gemara asks, my Chanukah, right? The Tanur Rabbanan, it tells a story, a history, a quick history overview, B'chofei B'kislei, Yimei Chanukah, Yom HaChanukah Tam Ne'inu, there are 8 days of Chanukah, and you're not allowed to have a hesped and eulogies and fast on these days. And it tells a story, Shekashenichmas Yivam La'echo, when the Greeks came into the Beis HaMikdash, they were metame everything. Okay, then it says in the second line, that's the key for us to the Dayak right now, Cheshugavra Malchus Beis Chashmonoim, Chashmonoim V'nitzchum. The Gemara refers to the Chashmonaim family as the Malchus Beis Chashmonaim. Now, Malchus means royalty, the royal family. Malchus Beis Chashmonaim, the royal family. Now, it doesn't seem that they were part of the royal family that at that point, when they first came into the Beis HaMikdash, during the battle or at the end of the battle, but the Rambam refers to them as the royal family. And then it tells us the story, the search of the oil, they only found the one jar, etc., and it burned for 8 nights, as we all know. Okay, so that's the Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Alef Mebeis. That was a miracle. Rashi explains there in the second source, my Chanukah, al eze neis kva'ua, regarding what miracle. So it's the miracle of the oil, the miracle of the battle, all good. Okay, and the days were established, the days of Halal of Hodor. Rashi there says, Halal means we say Halal, Hodor means we say Alanisim, and so on. And again, as I said before, in the Alanisim, we mentioned the Chashmonai family. Okay. Now, if you look in the Rambam, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, that's the very beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, source 3, the Rambam says the following, also presents a historical overview. Excuse me. B'bai Yisheni, K'shemolchu Yavon, Gozu Gzeres al Yisrael, and so on, the Greeks ruled, and then they passed certain decrees, anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish decrees, and they caused all kinds of problems. And the second line, B'tzar Lahem Yisrael Ma'od, they oppressed the Jewish people greatly, and so on, caused them great anguish, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachamim, and the last line, the third line, V'govru again B'nei Chashmonoi HaKohanim Gedolim, the family of the Chashmonoim, the Kohanim Gedolim, or descendants at least of Kohanim Gedolim, they were able to be victorious. They killed off their enemies. They saved the Jewish people from the hands of these Greeks. And now the key line for us tonight, they establish a king over the Jewish people from the Kohanim, from their family. And the Rambam says a wonderful thing, the reign or the royal family, the royalty ruling class over the Jewish people returned to Jews. Yeser Amosayim Shana Arachor Ben Hasheni, for more than 200 years until the destruction of the Bayi Sheni. There's some question exactly what year the Hanukkah story happened. It's assumed that it happened approximately 165 BCE, okay, BCE, and the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we assume, in the year 70 CE, so that's 235 years. The Rambam says, Yeser Amosayim Shana, for more than 200 years, this family reigned, and it was Jewish sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. Now let's understand that since the invasion of the Babylonians, that resulted in the Churban Bayis Rishon, that's recorded in Navi, the end of Melachim Beis, and also in Sefer Yirmiyahu. So after that point, there was no more Jewish kingship in Eretz Yisrael. So we're dealing now not only during the 70 years that they were in Galus Babel, but even when they came back, they were under the thumb of the Persians, and after the Persian Empire fell to Alexander the Great and the Greeks, they were under the thumb of the Greek Empire and so on. So now, after the Hanukkah story, Jewish rulership was reestablished in Eretz Yisrael, and that, the Rambam says, is highly significant. And so in recounting what one of the things we're thankful for, and the subsequent halachas, I didn't print them there in Parag Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam says, Mipnei Zen, account of all of this, we have a holiday and so on. So the Rambam seems to be including in the celebration of Hanukkah, or the reason why we celebrate Hanukkah, yeah, we had the miracle of the oil and the victory in the battle, but again, in his words, Hamidu Melech Min HaKohanim V'Chozo Malchus Yisrael, they established a Jewish a king in Eretz Yisrael, and the royalty, the kingship, was reestablished over Jews in Eretz Yisrael until the Korban HaBayis Sheni a little more than a couple hundred years later. So that's what the Rambam, he seems to say, that the establishment of a king from the Chashmonaim was part of the triumph or part of the victory that we celebrate on Hanukkah. Now, that's not nothing to have Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting. This is a side point. We look in the Chumash, in the end of, in Parshas Maaseh, in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Perek Lamed and Gimel, Sukkim Nun Gimel and Nun Dalet, source 4, it says, V'horashtem es ha'aretz, v'yishavtem bo, that's, we're going to inherit the land in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, Parshas Maaseh is pretty much the end of the Chumash, because Chumash Dvarim, which follows, is basically a recap of Moshe Rabbeinu's final series of speeches, you know, a little more than a month before his death. So the, you know, the end of Parshas Maaseh describes how the Jews are about to go into Eretz Yisrael, and the Pasuk says, you should drive out the inhabitants and settle in, v'snachal tam es ha'aretz, you inherit the land, and so on. The Ramban, there in Chumash, but as well in his Asogos, that's our print in source 5, in his Asogos to the Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban wrote a commentary, and at the end of both the Mitzvos Asay and the Mitzvos Los, I said, the Ramban lists off Mitzvos that he thinks the Rambam omitted and shouldn't have omitted. Okay? And so, and he has other mitzvahs that he thinks the Rambam counted and shouldn't have counted. So somehow they all wind up with 613. Okay, but anyway, among the mitzvahs, the Ramban calls Shichachas Ha'esim, source number 5, mitzvahs Asay that he thinks the Rambam left out. One of them is mitzvah Revi'ah, source 5, the fourth that he thinks the Rambam left out. Shenit Tavinu L'Reshes Ha'aretz, that we're commanded to go inherit and live in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And what it means is, towards the end of the first line, V'lo nazva b'yad zula seinu mina omos. We are not allowed to leave the land of Eretz Yisrael in the hands of any other nation, any other people. Now, sometimes we have no choice. Okay, we're overpowered by a more powerful army. We're driven out. That happens. But we're not allowed to intentionally give land in Eretz Yisrael, give sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael to another nation. And not our topic now. That's part of the whole question of it, giving up land for peace. Okay, not for our topic right now, but according to Ramban, that's what it means. There's two mitzvahs really incorporated in this pasuk, Barashtam as Arts, and these psukim, Ramban quotes, first of all, is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, for whatever the reason, the Rambam didn't count it in the 613. That's a whole discussion, and there's explanations, and not that the Rambam denied the mitzvah, but rather he may have incorporated it or under something else. Okay, not our topic now, but the Ramban's point that I want to stress is that there is significance to Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and we have to wipe out anybody who gets in our way. And at the end, the last words that I printed, the answer was 5. Avala aretz lo naniach osebiyadam velo biyad zula samin omos bedormin adoros. We're not allowed to intentionally give up land in Eretz Yisrael to other nations. Again, sometimes we have no choice, but when it's in our hands, so then we have to maintain a rulership over the land of Eretz Yisrael. So that may well be why the Rambam says, look, there hadn't been since the days of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian invasion that led to the Churban Bayis Rishon, for several centuries there was no Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. And now, after the Hanukkah story, the Chashmonaim appointed a king, and for the first time in several centuries you had Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. That's something significant according to the Ramban. Even though we know that some of these kings I mentioned before, several generations later, weren't the most upstanding Yirei Shamayim and Shomer Torah Mitzvahs and so on. Now, not for tonight, but you can extrapolate from there to the status of a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael today. Okay, I'm not sure that you know, Ben Gurion was any worse than Yonah HaMelech. You know what I'm saying? So we can debate that and discuss the importance of Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael today, which was reestablished, you know, with the creation of the state. Okay, not our topic now politically, just something to ponder according to that Rambam. Anyway, what the Rambam says is that that is a wonderful thing that we reestablished Jewish sovereignty. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there was significance that a Dafke was from the family of the Kohanim. The Rambam in source number 6 writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Ches Halacha Dalet. The Rambam writes in source 6, Mitzvah Shiniroso Shua Kohanim Shomrim. Part of the job was for the Kohanim, part of their role was to protect and defend, so to speak, the Beis HaMikdash. That's the job of the Kohanim and the Levim, and the Rambam writes based on Gemara's Mishnayos, actually, where they had different guards. These guards were not necessarily, you know, for protection, but perhaps like the guards in Buckingham Palace, you know, they're there for the dignity of the place, to mean, you know, for the honor of the place. It's, you know, it shows the significance to have these soldiers stationed there. Anyway, that's part of the job of the Kohanim. And since what resulted from the Greeks was an attack, so to speak, on the Beis HaMikdash. So significant, says the Rav, explaining this based on this Rambam, that it was Dafka from the Kohanim that these kings now, to defend the Beis HaMikdash, were put into place by the Chashmonaim. So says the Rambam. So therefore, the establishment of king, that's a wonderful thing, something we celebrate as part of the Hanukkah celebration. However, there seems to be a problem, because there is a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, which we'll read in a couple of weeks, Bereishis Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Yud, source 7, when Yaakov Avinu gives the bracha to all of his 12 children on his deathbed, he says, Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda Umechokek Mi Bein Raglo, that the Shevet, the ruling scepter, shall not depart from Shevet Yehuda, or the rulership from him, Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh, until the time of Shiloh, perhaps reference to Moshiach. Rashi says, there in Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Yud, Bereishis 8, Lo Yosur Shevet Yehuda Mi David Ve'elech, means, you know, because you'll ask, well, wasn't Shaul the first king, and he was not from Shevet Yehuda, he was from Binyamin, and it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of king, Vayibishur Melech, Yeshua may have had the status of king, but it means once the established monarchy is established through Yehuda, that's it, Mi David Ve'elech, and even the Rashi Golios from Bavel, the Jewish leaders in exile, also from Yehuda, okay, so I'm going to see him in Eretz Yisrael. The next Rashi says, right, that family was from Yehuda. Bottom line, this pasuk seems to tell us that we're not allowed to have rulers. The monarchy must come from Shevet Yehuda. So the Ramban has a lengthy analysis of this, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but look in source 9. The Ramban there in Parshas Vayechi says that when it says Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda, Ein in Yonah Shel Yosu L'Olam, it doesn't mean it'll never depart. I mean, we'll never be sent into Golus. Okay, and there'll never be a time where there's no king from Yehuda over the Jewish people. That's not true. And it actually refers to a pasuk in Parshas Kisova that I printed in Source 10, in the Tochacha, Parakof Ches Pasuk Lamed Vav. The Torah itself predicts, if we don't observe the mitzvahs, Yolech Hashem Osmas Malticha, Asher Tokim Alech Algoi Shal Yadot, and so on. You're king and you will be exiled. So it doesn't mean that there'll never be, you know, a time where there's no king from Yehuda over the Jewish people. That's not what it means. Okay. What it does mean, in the second paragraph of Source 9, the Ramban writes, the rulership, the monarchy, will not be transferred from Yehuda to any other Shevet. Okay, that's what it means. The monarchy, when there is a Jewish monarchy, it's got to be from Shevet Yehuda. And that's what the Ramban says it means. And lo yosur, and at the end of the next paragraph, lirmos ki yimlok shevet acha Yisrael, avam eishi yachal, it could be from before there can be another king, but once the monarchy, once the Yehuda family is installed in the monarchy, so eishi yachal yosur Yehuda shevet machos, lo yosur menol shevet acha, will never be transferred to another shevet. Okay? And the Ramban therefore writes, the next paragraph that I printed, I skipped a little bit in the Ramban, but it says, "Lefi dati, according to my opinion, Hayu Hamalachim Amocham Yisrael Mishar Shvatim." What about after the time of David and Shlomo? You all know that there was a split. Okay, the Jewish kingdom split into two: the so-called Northern Kingdom called Yisrael, the Southern Kingdom called Yehuda. Right? There was a war not in the days of David and Shlomo, but Shlomo's son Rechavam who succeeded him, and there was a kind of a civil war, and the Jews split into two kingdoms. Says the Ramban, and you know, throughout Sefer Melachim, you can see there were parallel kings. There was a king in Israel and a king in Yehuda. The kings in Yehuda were talking always from Beis David, from Yehuda, but the kings in the Northern Kingdom weren't. So Ramban writes, "Lefi daiti hayom Melachim amolchim al Yisrael mishar shvatim achrei David overim al das aviyem umavir mecha." They're in violation. All of these kings who reigned in the Malchi Yisrael, as opposed to the Malchi Yehuda, were in violation of what Yaakovino said. That's what Ramban writes. They were relying on the fact, what about Yeravon ben Nevad, who was the first one? That was different. He was anointed by Achia HaShiloni, who was a Navi. Okay, so that was an override, so to speak, a Navi, a Kadosh Baruch Hu directed Navi to appoint this Yerubim. But later on, the Ramban writes, you know, in the northern kingdom, it generally was not a father-son inherit. Generally, I think the maximum was only three generations. It was always somebody else who usurped the throne, so to speak, had a coup, an insurrection, call whatever you want, and took over as Melachim in the Malchi Yisrael. Malchi Yehuda was always father-son down the line. Okay, but Malchi Yisrael, it wasn't like that. And the Ramban writes, they were in violation of this pasuk, Yosef Shem Yehuda. Now, relevant to us, all the Malchi Yisrael, in effect, were not really legitimate Malchim, which would mean that the appointment of a Melech in Yisrael was, first of all, Osir, and second of all, ineffective. They did not have the status of Melachim for all the din of a Melech. The Torah has, in the Parsha of Melech, various dinim applied to a Melech. It wouldn't apply to those particular people because their Malchus was illegitimate. And also it violated an Isser. And then the Ramban writes, Zeh hoya onesh ha-chashmonoim. And that was a mistake for which the Chashmonoim were punished as well. So Moch B'Bayisheni. Now the Ramban does not take away from their tremendous contribution in terms of Hanukkah. Ki hayu chaside elyon. They were great pious people. V'ilmalei hein istakwa Torah mitzvot mitzvot. If not for that, Torah and mitzvot would have forgotten. Like we say in Alisim, L'shkicham Torah secha. V'la'avira mechukir tzanecha. If not for them, the Chashmonoim, well, who knows what would have happened. Torah would have been forgotten. So they're tremendous heroes. Ramban does not take anything away from them. But because the subsequent dynasties and so on, the subsequent generations, Mochim Zachazeh, okay, they were all killed. Most of the sons of Matisyahu's five sons were killed in battle, and there were subsequent generations was even worse and so on, to the point, says the Ramban, that there's a pasuk in Bava Basra, I'm sorry, Gemara in Bava Basra, Dav Gimel Beis. We'll see it in the side in a second, and that there are no descendants left. The whole Chashmonai family, eventually, generations later, were wiped out completely. We'll come back to the Gemara in a second. And the Ramban writes in the second last paragraph that I printed nine, Efshar Gam came, Shalom Chait B'malchusam, before we get that again, because they violated, I'm sorry, the end of the previous paragraph, okay, they lost because they lost the status because they weren't, so lo hayu mizeri Yehudim based on it. They were in violation. They should not have appointed a king. They were in violation of Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda, says Ramban, and therefore they were terribly punished for it. I'll take a break from the Ramban in a second. I printed all the psukim. It's worth looking. I'm not going to read it inside now. Tom, look at 11. Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph. This was Vayhi, starting Pasuk Koftes. Vayhi Ba'isahi, Yerovam. This was Yerovam Ben Avat, came and was met up with Achia Shiloni, the Navi. And Achia Shiloni did a demonstration, ripped them something to 12, and he said, I'm giving you 10. And the others, the Malchus won't be taken completely away because of my loyalty to David and Shlomo. Okay, he says, Lamed Aleph, Vayomer Yerovam Kachla Sorakoyim. Deference to David and Shiftei Yisrael. Not everything will be given over to Yerovam, and this is a punishment because they abandoned me and worshipped the Avodah Zarah and so on. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Echach has called Malachim, not going to take everything away. Laman David Avdi, in respect to David, but most will be taken away, and it'll be given. But one city and so on, one area will be left. Lamed Vav, leave no attain. Eshevet Echad Laman, Heus near the David Avdi, Kolamir Fanam Yerushalayim. With some remnant, area, territory left to Yerushalayim and so on and so forth. But the rest will be given to Yerubim, assuming he does right. It'll go to the tent. Of course, it didn't happen. Okay, but anyway, this is what's predicted. And that's what the Rabban is referring to, that was Achia Shiloni, that was a Navi. Okay, so Yerubim and Avad had the right to rule, but the subsequent rulers of Malchi Yisrael, many of them had no right to rule. And Rabban says it was a violation of Isser, and there was, in effect, an illegitimate and not a real Malchus. And then the Ramban says that's what happened to the he also quotes a Pasuk Yosheh that I quote in Parakles and source 12 some Gimel and Dal. Okay, what's the Gemara in Baba Basra? What's the Gemara in Baba Basra? Dal Gimel Beis. The Gemara says 13. Hurdus Herod Avdo the Beis Chashmonoi Hav. Herod was originally a servant for the Chashmonoi kings. Herod was, a great builder. We know Herod, you go on a Tiul and Herod, every third building is built by Herod. Okay, he was a great builder and a strategic thinker and so on. Anyway, but a madman as well. Okay, anyway, he fell in love with one of the Chashmonaim young ladies. And eventually, you read the Gemara, I'm not going to read inside now, this Baba Basra, Gimel Beis. Eventually, he was able to, take control and he rebelled against his masters. And he wiped out, he basically killed them. He killed the Chashmonaim, and he, except for this young girl that he loved, the name was Miriam. And it says, Slika Igor, she went up to the roof and jumped off the roof and killed herself. And that's what it says. Look what it says at the end of 13. Kol man de osi varma beis chashmonayim kasina. From here on, anybody who will say that I am a descendant of chashmonayim, not really. They may be descendant of Herod, who was originally a slave, a servant. You're a descendant of the servant. You're not a descendant of chashmonayim. Meaning that's what Ramban says. There were no more descendants of chashmonayim. So they met an ignominious end. Several generations later, no descendants left in the chashmonayim. Ramban says that was a punishment for violating lo yosef shem Yehuda. Now look back again at the Ramban. Another point, second to last paragraph. Efshar, there's another thing. He says, based on a Yerushalmi and Horius, he says, aside from violating lo yosef shem Yehuda, they violated something else. Okay, and that is a pasuk in Bamidbar. We can look back I quoted the sources. You don't have to look back in the Ramban. I quoted the sources for you. In Parshas Korach, Perek Yudches, pasuk Zayin, okay, it says, right, the Kohanim, they have a job. What's their job? Perek Yudches, pasuk Zayin, Atov v'necha itcha tishmur kunaschem l'chol dvar mizbeach, l'beis paroches. I'm a base of parochas and so on. Vavodas, avodas, matona, you have the Kohanim have a job. They have a certain job. Okay, and that's their job, not to be the kings. Okay, says Ramban. And if you look, there's an interesting, in Parsha Shoftim, there's an interesting juxtaposition, two psukim, 15 and 16. They happen to be different prukim, but they're back-to-back psukim. The Perek Yudzayin, Pasuk Chof, is the pasuk at the end of the Parshas HaMelech, it's called, Levilti Rum Levavo, and so on. It says, L'man Yarichamim Amam Lachto, Hu Vano B'Keres Yisrael, speak care of Israel, speaking about the Malchus, the monarchy. Very next pasuk, Perek Yudches, pasuk Aleph, 16, says, Lo Yeh Lakon Olim Kol Shevet Levi Chelek Benachol Im Yisrael, Ish Yashem Benachol Chelek. So the Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi in Horius, Perek Gimel Aleph Bei 17, Ein Moshkin Melachim Kohanim. You're not allowed to appoint a Kohen. In other words, the Ramban is pointing out there in Bayechi, in addition to the general prohibition of Liyosu Shev Yehuda, which applies to any Shevet, you can't have a king from Reuven and from Shimon and from Ephraim and from Manasseh. It's got to be from Shevet Yehuda. There's a specific limitation on appointing a king from the Kohanim. Ein Moshe Melachim Kohanim. So the Rishalmi has both psukim, whether it's a machokes or they're complementing each other. First is Yehuda unto Daria, the same place, said Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda. That's why. And then Ruchia Barba says no. You know, or in addition, again, maybe it's a machokes or it's complementing each other. There's an additional rule on the Kohanim based on the juxtaposition of Tupsukim that I mentioned before. Okay, so the Pnei Moshe has a commentary there. And actually in the Babli, you have in the Horius as well, Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, not this Gemara, but a similar Gemara. It says, Malchei Beis David Meshuchin, Malchei Yisrael Ein Meshuchin. A distinction between Malchus Beis David and Malchus Yisrael. Okay, that only the Malchei Beis David were actually real kings who had the Meshicha, the anointment with the Shemen HaMishcha. The Malchei Yisrael didn't. And it's based on Psukim and Shmuel Aleph Perek Tez Zayin, source 20, when David HaMelech was first anointed, so Psukim say, knew that it was Shmuel Navi was the Navi then. He found Yishai, and Yishai had a bunch of sons, and he asked all, which one, he knew it was going to be a son of Yishai, wasn't sure which one. He said, do you have any other? Yeah, there's one kid left. Okay, and Pasuk Yud Beis is Shmuel Aleph Perek Tzayin in 20. Yishach Vavyehu Hu Admoni, he was redheaded and son. That's the one. Kum Mashcheu. He was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. Okay. Vayikach Shmuel is Karen Hashem and Raim Shachosu Beker Bechav. And so that's the anointment of David HaMelech. The Gemara says only, and it's specifically, why don't we say, well, why ain't Moshkin Melachim Kohanim? Kohanim are also anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, but not as kings. So therefore, the Ramban has two sources which seem to indicate that it's wrong. It's a violation to establish a king from the Kohanim. Number one, it's a violation of Lo Yosef Shem Yehuda, and number two, it's a violation of a specific limitation on Kohanim. Now, the Rambam seems not to hold that way, because the Rambam, as we saw before, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam enumerates among the things we celebrate when it comes to Chanukah is Hamidu Melech Ben HaKohanim. There's wonderful thing. What wonderful things the Chashmonaim, the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim did. They were victorious. They defeated the Greeks and they appointed a king, and they restored a monarchy to the Jewish nation for the next 200 plus years. According to Ramban, that was a big violation, and it led to a punishment on the Chashmonaim family. Now, it's interesting, because the Rambam himself, in the Parish HaMishnah in Sanhedrin, Perek Yud, Perek Helik, and that's where the Mishnah Aleph, that's where the Rambam lists off what we call the Yud Gimel Ikarim, the 13 Animamins. He doesn't present them as Animamins, but it's the 13 principles, of our faith. And he says, these are things which we have to understand, the 13 Yisodos, Shosh Yisodos, and number 12, and he says, look, from Rambam writes, Okay, Rambam there in the Perusha Mishnah seems to agree. You can't have a king other than from Zera David and Shlomo, and that's it. And then he writes, somebody who denies that is a kofar, the heretic, denying the Torah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Nevi'im. So there, the Rambam seems to say that it actually also has to come from David. Okay, and it's actually a discussion when he said it has to come from David, from Yehuda. Is it the mother's side, the father's side, both? So there is a drush in the Gemara Kedushin side point. I am above my base. And the pasuk says in Shoftim Perk and Zion pasuk Tesvav 22. Som Tosim Alecha Melech. It says Mikarev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech. Lo Sucha Lo Seis Alecha Ish Nachri Ashal Achicha. You can't have an Ish Nachri as your king. Now the Gemara discusses: is it the mother, right? And the Kedushin I am above my base 23. Afilu Imam Yisrael. Yes, Imam Yisrael, Mikarev Achecha Krinan Bey. Okay, as long as the mother is from the Jewish people. And the Rambam mentioned the Hilchos Malachim, Parakal Baruch Dalid, Ein Mamidim Melech Mikal Gerim. That's why you can't have someone who converts because his mother wasn't Jewish. And the discussion, the Kesef Mishnah says, the father also. It doesn't have to be the mother, it can be the father. Okay. Based on this, the Rambam in the Seder, we just read the Rambam in the Perusha Mishnah in Sanhedrin, says it's not proper to have a king. It doesn't exactly say that it's usher, maybe just means it's not legitimate. Remember, the Ramban said two things. The monarchy is not legitimate and it violates an isser. The Rambam wrote in the Perusha Mishnah, Sanhedrin, Ein Melech Lisa, it's not a legitimate king. It doesn't say you violate anything. However, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzalosa says, Shin Samach Bey is 26. The Rambam says that there is a violation. Not Lo Yosu Shev Yehuda. He doesn't bring up Lo Yosu Shev Yehuda. But the Rambam writes in 26, HaMitzvah Shin Samach Bey, the Hishayiz Hiranu. Okay, that we know, but not only that. But then he says, because that's what the pasuk means, losucha lecha ish nochri. Okay, that's a losase. But then the Rambam adds, not only is an ish nochri a non-Jew, or even a Jew who converted, but rather, kvar yadata, miksuve sifre nebusha zocha ba David, right? He says, the David HaMelech was zocha to the melucha. Okay, and he quotes the Medrash and Kohelis Rabbah that I printed in 27, Parsha Zayin, Sivan Beis, the famous Tanav Shimon Rechai, Shlosha, Ksarimen, Kesar Torah, Kesar Yudah, Kesar Malchus, right? Kesar Kuna, Zocha Ba'aram, Rablo, Kesar Malchus, Zocha Ba'David. Kesar Torah, everybody can take. It's Gemara Yuma as well, Ayin Beis, Mabeis, 28, Amar Yochanan, Shlosha, Zerim, him again, three crowns from his Be'ach, three of the vessels in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, had some crown around it, Zazer, Zov, Saviv. So three things, the Mizbeach, the Aron, the Shulchan. The Mizbeach is Aron, and the Shulchan, which symbolizes prosperity, that's the king. And Aaron, that's for everybody. Okay, you look in the Rashi there. And Ayin Beis and Beis and Yuma, Shlosha Zer, Nasu, B'Klei Kodesh, right, based on the Pesukim and the Chumash. All right, so bottom line, says the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvah, back in 26. Bottom line, it says that this was given to David, okay? And therefore, Rambam makes a dramatic statement, all right? He says, look at the end of the, he quotes again, Ein Melech L'Mishiyamin, three lines in the bottom of 26. Ein Melech L'Mishiyamin, Taurus Moshe Ben Arosham, Adon Kolavim, Ela Mizera David, Mizera Shlomo Levad, V'chol Mishu Mizulas Zeh Hazera Nichbad L'Nich Malchus, Nochri Karina Bey. When it says in the Pasuk in Shoftim, source 22, Perik and Zion of Dvarim, Pasuk Tesvav, it says, Lo Sucha Lo Ses Alecha Ish Nochri. It doesn't only mean a Goy or someone comes from a Ger and so on. It's even a Jew who's not from the family of David and Shlomo. Again, the language of Rambam, Le'inyon Malchus, second last line of 26, Nochri Karinan Bey. Okay, he's considered a Nochri, just like by Aaron, someone's not a Kohen, he's considered a Zor, who can't participate in the vote in the Beis HaMikdash. And he's Zemavur Ein Sofik Bo, says the Rambam. You take a look, the language in the Chumash is very similar. You look in Parshas Korach in 30, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Yudtes. Okay, the Pasuk speaks about the Kohanim, and it says that this was given to the Kohanim, Bris Melach Olam. Wasn't Chumash, right? The covenant was made with Aaron and his family. Bris Melech, Melech Mesolt, means it doesn't spoil. It never rots. It's good forever. And in Pasuk and Divrei Yomim Beis, Perek Gimel Pasuk Hay 31, that the Rishonim referred to, says the same thing with regards to the kingship. Halo lachem ladas keshon lekeisom nosan mamlocha ledavid ayisrael leolam lobanav. Bris Melech, same expression. So bottom line, and then other expressions, right? We know, I quote in 2032, the Pasuk in Tillim, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Nun Aleph, Magdilish was Malko, elsewhere it's called Migdal, whatever, but it says, Oseh Chesu, Mishkel, David Lazaro, Ad Olam, Malko, the kingship, the royalty, the monarchy, in the hands of David forever. So there, the Rambam says in the Mishnah, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he seems like he's holding like Rabban, that it's a violation. In the Parish of Mishnah, he just says, Ein Melech, maybe it's not legitimate, but it wouldn't be an Isser. But here he says it's an Isser, and it could be, again, he doesn't seem to bring up Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda. He brings up a different thing, that it says, Lo Sucha, Lo Seis Alecha, Ish Nachri, and Ish Nachri means anybody not from the family of David, Shoma, not from Shev Yehuda. That's the Rambam. So we have a little bit of a contradiction. Okay, and the contradiction becomes even sharper because in Hilchos Melachim, Parak Alav Alach Ches 33, the Rambam writes, Novi Shehemid Melech Mishar Shivte Yisrael, V'hoysa Osa Melech Holech V'derech Ator V'zun Nilcham V'chamos Hashem, Harei Ze Melech V'chol Mitzvos HaMalchus Nohagos Bo. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim says in the Mishnah Torah that a king from another Shevet can be, provided he follows the Torah and so on, can be considered a Melech, and all the mitzvos related to a Melech apply to him. Rama says that. It's Afal Bishah Ikra Malchus of David, Biyah Mibar of Melech. Okay, he speaks about Achia Shiloni and so on, we mentioned before. Nonetheless, they are considered Melachim. So that would seem, as I said, to be a contradiction. That aligns with what he said in the beginning in Paragimel Hilchas Chanukah Halacha Aleph, that there is the possibility of another king, of a king being from another Shevet, not Yehuda. Remember, the Rambam didn't discuss the possibility of Yosef Shev Yehuda. Now, it seems to be a stira to what he wrote, in a little bit of a stira he wrote in the Parish of Mishnah Chelek, that there's no king other than, you know, from David and Shoma, and it's certainly a stira to what he wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he says it's a violation of Lo Sucha Lecha Lo Seis Alecha Ish Nachri. So it's a bit of a problem in the Shita Rambam, but here in Hilchos Melachim Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, the Rambam says no, you can have a king. So the Rambam says, really, the opposite pole of the Ramban. Ramban says it's not a legitimate king and it's a violation of Isser. Violation of an Isser to appoint a king from another Shevet. The Rambam says it is a valid king, right? And language is Chol Mitzvah Samachus Nahagos Bo, and there's no violation. Doesn't say that there's any Isser. Now, either Stira, all right, so maybe there are answers, maybe we'll come to it if we have time. You could say the Rambam changed his mind. You know, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah he wrote later in life and maybe reconsidered, and you know, this is what he said in one place, and then it wouldn't be the only time there's a Stira from different sources in the Rambam, and we consider as most authoritative. Representing his shita is what it says in the Mishnah Torah. Okay, but still the question becomes: the Ramban had two pretty solid proofs. What about Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda, and what about the special rule for a king based on Yerushalmi in Horius? So Yerushalmi in Horius, he could say, okay, well the Bavli doesn't have that, and we don't follow what it says in Yerushalmi lahalacha. Rambam can get out of it that way, although that's not the most intellectually satisfying answer. What about Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda? Obviously, the Rambam learns that pasuk differently. So there is a drushas haran. We have a collection of drushas in the Ran. So in Drush Zion 34, okay, the Ran deals with this a little bit also. I'm not going to read inside again to save some time, okay? Someone just asked, how does Ramban justify? Again, that was an override. That was a Hora Shah. Okay, how does Ramban justify Achir Shaloni in pointing Yerubim? All right, you have to say it was Meis Hashem. It was a special thing to punish. The Psukim said, you look back at those Psukim, I didn't read all the Psukim back in source, where was it? Source 11, the Psukim, Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph. When Achish Shiloni appoints him, so again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the house of David and Shlomo, so it's a temporary thing, but it wouldn't be a dynasty. That's, I'd have to learn it. That's, it says it himself. Ramban mentions there, you look back in the Ramban Vayechi, he does mention the notion of a special Horosh Shah, we might call from the Navi. The Ran has a different take. The Ran quotes, he mentions the issue, quotes the Psukim and so on. He mentions the Ramban, and he disagrees with the Ramban, at least partially. Okay, I'm going to say it outside. You can read the Drosh Ramban inside. He says, again, he agrees with Ramban that Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda doesn't mean it'll never be that the monarchy will be removed. The Jewish people are driven out of the land. We know Psukim and the Torah say otherwise. We saw that. Okay, but he quotes that Ramban. But he basically says that my understanding is, you look about the third paragraph, Zeh Pasuk Eino Mitzvah V'lo Azhor Laboim. He disagrees. It's not an Avera. It's not an Ister to appoint a Melech from another Shevet. Okay? It's basically a haftocha, okay? Yaakov Avinu is giving a promise, so to speak, that, you know, that and he says, in effect, if I'm understanding it correctly, that the promise came true because they weren't really legitimate kings to Malchus, so it wasn't Usser, and I think, yeah, Chia Shiloni did it, you don't have to say it was a Rosh, according to the Ran. The Ran will say there was no Isser, okay, to do it. It's an illegitimate, or it's not a full-fledged kingship. It's, you know, it's a ruling class, you might call it, they're ruling, but and there's no violation of anything. Again, he wouldn't say Achia Shiloni pointing Yerubim was a Horosho. Okay, but the Ran basically says that it was a haftocha. It was a, you know, he says, look at the third or fourth paragraph. Avaladaiti aparsha zos romezes lechol shevet v'shevet mashikrenu. You look in the psukim and farshas vayechi. They don't mitzvahs there. Yaakovin was blessing his children, in effect, giving a nevuah, avtocha, what each shevet's going to do in the future. There's no halachas, no dinim, no commandments that emerge from there. Okay, and with Yehuda, so the Yosef Shem Yehuda says that even if people sin and so on, it won't be that the melucha will be taken away from them forever. Okay, they were punished in the days of, after Shlomo, the days of Rechavim, they were punished that the melucha, the full melucha was taken away from them, but it was never actually fully taken away, because remember, during the whole time of Malchus Yisrael, there were Malchi Yehuda as well. So therefore, it came true, but the Malchi Yisrael were, you know, he might say were illegitimate kings, because, you know, and the Malchi Yehuda was still the principal of Malachim, but it was not an Isser to appoint him. I don't know that'll work for the Rambam, because the Rambam says, again, they're fully legitimate. The Rambam in 33, he says, openly, he says, "V'chol mitzvah samalchus nahogos bo." I don't know if the Ran agrees to that. The Ran would seem to say maybe they weren't legitimate kings fully, okay, but there was no issue to appoint them, kind of like a middle shita. Okay, so now, you know, they're kind of middle in between. The Ramban, who says it was illegitimate and violation of prohibition. The Ram on the other side says the Malchi Yisrael were legitimate, and there was not only was no aver, but they were 100% legitimate. And perhaps in the middle is the Ran, who says they may not have legitimate. There was no isser to appoint them. But then the Ram, again, we asked before, what does the Ram do with the pasuk Le'osu Shem Yehuda? So he says, perhaps, okay, and the Ran at the end, he's not addressing the Ram, but maybe this is what Ram will say. He quotes Midrashim. A lot of psukim that I quoted, which I'm not going to go through quickly. I'm not going to go through them very quickly. But he says, the last part of 34. There's another approach here. Starting when? It's a prediction and it's a din for the future. When the Mashiach will come and so on, then it will never, the monarchy will never be taken away from that family. It may be the Melucha may be taken away bizman hazeh, okay, but achar bias haMashiach lo tiposek mizar laolam. And that's the rest of the Pasuk. You look in the Pasuk, in Vayechi, in Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Yud, back in Source 7, Ad ki yavo shilo. He says the word ad can be interpreted a little bit differently. It means bizman sheyavo shilo. In other words, the whole thing doesn't take effect. That whole pasuk is not taking effect. It takes effect later. He quotes a pack of psukim, you know, which I printed again. If you're interested, you can see them. Okay, I printed in the subsequent sources. You can go through it quickly. You have psukim in the pasuk of Malachim Aleph. You know, it says when in the same parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that the Shlomo is told that it's going to be, the Melucha is going to be taken away from him. But in Yud Beis, I'm not going to do it in your days. But I'll again leave something for David as well. And the Medrash Tanchuma says in Parshas Vayechi, almost explicitly, in the Parshas Vayechi in Simin Yud 36, or he also shaves with Kisa Malchus, and he quotes other psukim, which again, I printed all the psukim there if you want to look at them. But he also seems to mean it means in the future. The Medrash Tanchuma seems to say in the future it will be taken away. All right, so yeah, Perak Mem Hey of Tilim, Pazuk Zion 37, Kisa Chalokim Olam Voed. Right, your Kisa will be Shevet Mishorach Shevet Malchusecha, or Pazuk in Yeshaya and Pesukim in Micha. And I just quoted the Pesukim in case you want to look up the source. Okay, but the bottom line, what emerges from all of this is that perhaps the Pesuk Yosef Shev Yehuda does not take effect until the time of the Mashiach. So that's why the Rambam, perhaps we can suggest that's why the Rambam, who doesn't, not bothered by this. Okay, the Rambam is not bothered. The Rambam says the Malchi Yisrael were legitimate, and by extension, he'll say the Malchus Chashmonoim, you know, Kohanim, also legitimate. I, Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda, Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda does not mean that. He'll learn Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda means in the future, Moshe Mashiach, at that time, okay, the Rambam agrees, but that hasn't happened yet. So therefore, there's no problem with the Rambam. Again, in disagreement with the Ramban, the Rambam would learn the Pesukim differently. Okay, the Chiddush agrees of Velvel Salavetchik and Simon Pei Beis, quotes from his father, B'Shem Agrach. He refers to a Pasuk in Yechezkel, in the Haftar actually for next week. Parshat Yigash talks about reuniting the Jewish kingship under David. And it says, Pasuk there says, V'abdi David Melech HaMaroach Adiyah, and so on. Pay attention to next week's Haftar, beautiful Haftar. So the second paragraph of 44, the Velvel Salavetchik writes, Mavur mizeh the most Hamashiach lo techalak malchus yolashnayim ba'melach yev mizdavid. The most Hamashiach the Melech will come from David and won't be anywhere else. Okay? And that's what it means. Lo yosu shem Yehuda, the after tichalek malchus Yisrael, even though they'll split, lo yosu shem Yehuda, they'll always be. Lo yosu shem Yehuda still is an implication until in the most Hamashiach. And if you look in the Rambam, in 45, he refers to this. Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, Perakid Aleph, Halacha Aleph, 45. Hamelech HaMashiach Osid Lamor LaHachzir Malchus David LiYosta LeMem Shala Rishona. That's the job of the Mashiach. That's when LaYosha Shem Yehuda will take effect. And so, one could suggest that this is what, this is what how the Rambam will get out of that problem, LaYosha Shem Yehuda, and therefore it legitimizes the Malchus Yisrael, which he says has the status of Melachim, full-fledged status of Melachim, and also legitimizes the Malchus of the Chashmonaim as well, against the Ramban. It's interesting, there's a Tshuvas HaRashba, Chelek Dalad Simon Kuf Pei Zion, 46, okay? And he says something else. He says that, and maybe this is another answer for the Rambam, okay? And maybe the Ran hinted at that a little bit as well, but the Rashba says it almost befairish. He says that, of course, there might be other kings. But you look in the fourth to last line of 46, Avol Sroros Yehuda Yerushi Lo Velo Ikar HaMamlochatiyah. What we call sometimes the Malchus HaNivcheres, the chosen monarchy, right? That's only from David. It could be Velo Yivtiach Hashem Yisrael Shol Yigul Kadesh Shimloch Alei Melech Yehuda Avotichu Shal Mamlach Besara He Nachlaso. Okay, Vim Tosu Mimenu Lo Loso Sosu La Olam. If it'll be temporarily taken away, but it won't be permanent, because eventually it'll come back to Yehuda. That's the idea. So Rashba, he's not explaining the Rambam, but you can use this Rashba, and maybe this is what the Rambam means also. The Ikar Hamalucha. Okay, the Ikar Hamalucha, that will stay in the hands of the family of Yehuda. It doesn't mean that there can't be other kings, okay? And if you take a look carefully, look back in 33, the Rambam says, in Hilchos Melachim Perak Alav Alach Ches, when he says that monarchy from other Shvatim have a legitimacy, but he writes in the second line of 33, Afal Pi She'ikar Hamalchus L'David V'yeh B'bon of Melech. Even though the Iker Malchus is from David. The Rambam doesn't deny that. So maybe Lo Yosu Shem Yehuda means the Iker Malchus, right? The Malchus and Evcheret, that's always going to be from David, okay? And with that, perhaps we can give a different answer to the stira we raised before. The Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah, okay, the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah with this Rashbo, with this approach, okay, the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah said in Source 321, in Sanhedrin Park Yud, Mishnah Aleph and Chelek, he writes, "Umiklal hazeh she'ein melech Yisrael amidavar mizara Shlomo Davke." Yeah, that's in terms of the Iker Malchus, right? The Malchus and Evcheres, that's only going to be from there. It doesn't mean that there can't be others, okay? And he writes, "V'chol acholek binyan mishpacha," someone who tries to take away the Iker Malchus, that's no good. And once we say that, you can say that as well in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in Lo Sasa Shin Samach Beis. Before we gave a teretz, maybe the Rambam was chosen, changed his mind. Could be, but now we're suggesting it doesn't mean he necessarily had to change his mind. Maybe it means that his ish nachri, if you take it over on a permanent basis, so to speak, trying to supplant, if you will, that family from being the Malchus and Evcheres, that's what you can't do. It's interesting from a different perspective, the B'nai Yisoschar, the Chassidish Sefer, Amari Chodesh Kislev, Tevis, Mamar, Vov, he calls Kohanim and Negoshim, he points out, and this is yet another answer, you can say maybe, and it relates to his previous points in the Rashba, that the Ikar Malchus we know is in David, but sometimes there could be, and David and Shevi Yehuda, but there could be kings from other Shvatim if on a temporary basis, and the B'nai Yisoschar says, we have Psukim, we know some of the Psukim because we say it, we put the Sefer Torah away. Until in Parakuf Lamed Beis, Pasuk Test 47, Kohanecha Yil B'shut Tzedek V'chasidecha Reneinu, and the very next Pasuk, Yud, is Bavur David Avdecha Al Toshim Kneim Shechecha, and then the other Psukim are not as well known, Nishba Shem L'David Emes, and so on, and Kohanel, again, there seems to be, the B'nai Yisoschar points out in 48, it's in Mamar Vav, he says, They went and because you can ask the question, what not only why the Chashmonaim did, but why did the Talmud Chachamim and the Rabbanu at that time go along with it? So look what he writes in 48. And really, Otam Amas Somchus Atzmon Chachmei Ador Ba'isel Litei Melucha LaKohanim Halom Nishpa Hashem LaDavid. He says no, because they were only doing it on a temporary basis. What we call a stopgap measure, right? They were the heroes who defeated the Greeks, so temporarily they set up themselves to be the king. Okay. And he says, you see that that's okay. The Kohanim can pave the way. That's the progression of the psukim there until in Parakuf Lamed Beis, right? Konecha b'shutzeg then Bavur David or Konecha al b'shyesha and then Shomatz miach Karla David or Achdinel m'shichi. So the Bnei Sosa says, at least al derech hadrush. Okay, he says that the kings of the Chashmonaim from the Kohanim were in effect to restore the, you know, ultimately to restore the Malchus Beis Dov. It didn't turn out that way. Maybe because some of the later generations were scoundrels and didn't care about it. And anyway, eventually the Beis was destroyed. Okay, but that wasn't their intention in the first place. That's the idea of the perhaps of the Bnei Sosa. An interesting possible approach. Another point that may make a difference that, you know, we can use is something else. You look in Shmuel Aleph Parakhes. This is the Haftorah of I think Korach, right? 49, Shmuel Aleph Parakhes Psukim Yud through Yud Zayin talks about the appointment of the king, which Shmuel Anovi was against in the first place, and he tries to talk the people out of appointing a king. All right, he says a bunch of things in Parak, starting Pasuk Yud Aleph. Here's what the king's going to do. He's going to draft your children. He's going to take your land away. He's going to do all kinds of terrible things. You don't want a king? Okay, it didn't work. The people didn't listen. So the Gemara has an interesting machlokas in Sanhedrin Chaf Beis 50. The Gemara says, those things that Shmuel Novi said, does that mean the king Taka has the right to do those things? Right? Amr Yehuda Mar Shmuel, call Amr Parash Melech, Melech Mutarbo. Rav disagrees. Lo nemar parshu ela ayam. That was just to frighten the people. It doesn't really have the right to do that. Okay. But anyway, that's a machlokas. So in any event, there's a question. We know the story of Achav. I'll refresh your memory quickly. Achav was a rotten king in Melech Yisrael. Okay. And Achav wanted to take over a vineyard. Karam Novos. Novos or Kamala. He wanted to take it over. So he had Novos killed. Terrible, terrible thing. And he got punished. So the Tosas, yes, there in Sanhedrin Chof Beis. You can look at the Rashi I printed here, but Chof Beis Melech Mutar 52. So Tema Loma Nenosh Achav Al Novos. Why was he punished? According to Shmuel, who says that the king is allowed to do things like seize land, what we call that in English, eminent domain, right? Government has the right to take land and so on and so forth. So they had the right to do it. So he's punished for what he did to Novos in terms of having him killed. That was a terrible thing. Okay, but in terms of why was he punished for taking the land, okay, which he refused to sell? So look what he says here. Inami, the parsha melech onema rak al melech shenimlach al kol Yisrael v'Yehuda umeis hamakom. V'achav lo malach al Yehuda v'gam lo malach meis hamakom. So first of all, that goes back to the idea before. We asked about Achia Shiloni. That was an exception. It was meis hamakom. It was a divine through a navi. Okay, but what Tosa seems to be saying is two things. Number one, a king who reigns without being appointed by a navi is not a real king. Okay, and also, the other thing that he says is that he didn't rule over all of Eretz Yisrael. He, Achav, only ruled over the northern kingdom. Never had, in Yerushalayim, never ruled over the southern kingdom. Okay, now, as far as the Navi is concerned, so we can say, so that potters up our problem with the Chashmonaim. Okay, raise the problem with the Chashmonaim. How could they be kings? How could the Rambam say they're kings? There was no Navi. All right, that's an interesting question. All right, so and the Sifrei in Parsha Shoftim, in Parsha Melech and Piska Kufnun Zayin 53, he says, Som Tosim, it says, right? Al Pinovi, right? Al Sharikar, Al Shalakachabo, Al Pinovi. So that we can get out. And so how can the Rambam say the Chashmonaim were legitimate? There was no Novi. So Ramban there in Parsha Shoftim, Perikadayan Puzik Tezvov 54, says that's only when there are Nevi'im. Okay. And then by that time, there were no more Nevi'im. All right. So we can get out of that. We can get out of that problem. All right. In fact, the Rambam writes, in Perak Aleph, Halacha Tes, of Hilchos Malachim, Malcha Beis Dovid, Hemom, Olam, they're going to be forever, okay? And, and Ein Moshe Malchus Yisrael, they wouldn't have the Malchus, but also the Ein Memanim Osam Yerushalayim. They had no rulership over Yerushalayim. So now, you could argue about the Chashmonaim, the Navi probably get out of, because there was no Navua then. But we could say, but they didn't rule over all of Eretz Yisrael either. The area that the Chashmonaim ruled, the Hasmoneans ruled, there was a relatively small area of Eretz Yisrael. Now, you could argue, does that mean rest of the Malchi Beis Dovid also, since they only ruled the southern kingdom, they also weren't considered Malachim? That's the logical extension. Because you're saying, and the Tosa says, in Sanhedrin Chof Beis, that you have to rule over all Eretz Yisrael. So by definition, the Malachim of the southern kingdom, Malchi Yehuda, were all descendants of Sheva Yehuda, David HaMelech, but they didn't rule over the north. The answer is they had the right to. Right? They had the right to. Politically, they weren't able to, but they had the right to. But the Malchi Yisrael had no right to reign in Yerushalayim, like the Rambam says over here, Eimamanim Osan be Yerushalayim. Okay? Okay. Now, as I mentioned, Rosh Sternbach has a tshuva. Tshuva is on Hagos Chela Gimelson, Reish Chav Beis, 57. He mentions the Rambam. They write in the second line, Our Kashav Utemal B'nei Chashmonayim, Shemun Melech Min HaKohanim. I thought it's also to do it. And he quotes the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So he deals with some of the issues that we dealt with over here. He basically says, he has a few different things. How could they do so? You know, according to Ramban, how could they do such a terrible thing? And the Ram, so he says, he wrote in the Mode of his Manim, and then he says, Od Nira, Din Melech Yisrael, Enak Elak Shemolech Al Kol Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Chashmonaim thought it's mutter for us to do this because it's only a violation of taking a kingship of the monarchy away from Yehuda when you're ruling over Eretz Yisrael. We're not. Okay, and so therefore, the Ramban would disagree. And I also mentioned that some of the Chashmonaim, the original Chashmonaim, never took the nickname Melech and so on, and they only called themselves Nasi originally. Anyway, he emphasized this idea that they weren't ruling over all of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we're not in violation of that issue. That's what the Rambam could say. So that's another approach. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a fascinating approach in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov there in Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Yud 58. He quotes the Ramban, and he says that. So how could it be that the Chashmonaim did such a thing? So he says, you know, the Bayis Sheni, it was known in advance, was only going to be something temporary. And he has this, he said a couple of times. He says, you know, when the Bayis Sheni was built, so it was only a temporary thing. They weren't really fully out of goals yet. And he said, it was not going to be all and void. All right. And he says, it was basically, you know, to get out of Golos, but it wasn't a full Gula. And he says, for example, that's why the months of the Hebrew months, you know, the Hebrew month, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, you know, those are Babylonian names. In the Chumash, and the early part of Nevi'im, until you get to Megillas Esther and the later works of Ksuvim, they never refer to the months by name, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, their numbers. B'chodesh Rishon, we learned in the Mafti this morning, right? B'chodesh Rishon, the next part, B'chodesh Rishon, it's always the months, right? The months are always numbers. 1, 2, 3, it's always numbers, right? In Megillas Esther, you remember the Psukim, it says, B'chodesh Asi, who Chodesh Tevet. They're already Megillas Esther. They're already outside the Korban Bayis Rishon are taking place. They're in Eretz Babel, the Persian kingdom, and so on. Paras Amodai. So then they had the months, and they brought those names of the months back. All right, and the Yaakov Kamenetsky contrasts elsewhere, not here, but he says when we came out of Eretz Yisrael, yeah, someone mentioned Chodesh Ziv Yarchei Sonim. It's in Navi. It's true, but it's not when they came out of. He makes a chilek when they came out of Mitzrayim. Chodesh Elachem Rosh Chodashim. Okay, Chodesh Elachem Rosh Chodashim. That was to establish we have a new calendar system and months and so on. You know, we're going to have our own months, and they came back. The Bayis Sheni, they had other names because it wasn't a full gula. That's what he says, and he also mentions the language wasn't Hebrew, it was Aramaic, it was a temporary thing, and he says therefore the Chashmonaim also they knew that it was only a temporary thing. So therefore, they appointed some of Shevet Levi Dafka not to be from Zera David to show that it's not a real Melucha. It's an interesting approach. Again, it doesn't explain why it's a violation. What about the violation? But again, he said it wasn't a violation. You know, the Rambam will say it wasn't a violation. Ramban, but to defend the Rambam, it wasn't a violation. Therefore, they thought it would be okay, either because of Sternberg's reason, because they never ruled over all of Eretz Yisrael, like Tosfos implies in Sanhedrin, you have to, in order to be called the Melech, or like this approach, the Bedavka did it that way. And then in the last paragraph, he writes that maybe they weren't really Melochim, because after all, the Rambam writes, you need Shem Zakenim, you need a Navi. All right, the Navi problem we dealt with already. But that's the idea that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he says at the end, Avalheim Atzman Emes Lohelahem Din Melech. They weren't really kings. They were more like judges. That's what he suggests. Interesting approach. The only thing is, if we've gotten out of the, I printed the Rambam, when I see them, he writes in Hilchos Malachim, Perak Alav Alach Gimel, Ein Mamid the Melech Matchil Al Pi Bezin Shal Shivim Uzkanim, Al Pi Navi, and so on, Shivim in 70 Uzkanim, in the Navi. Okay. Later on, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, he writes in Perak Alav Alach Alav, Ein Mamid the Melech Al Pi Bezin Shal Shivim Echa, he doesn't mention Navi. Okay. So that's a question whether you actually need a Navi. Maybe you don't need a Navi when there is no longer any Nevuah. It's interesting because, and the Karen Ora writes, Hori Yostav, Yod Alef Mod Alef, 61, Dibbe Maschu Yochol, and the Karen Ora writes, you know, because the Rambam seems to say that the Malchi Yisrael were Melachim, he says that they were not Alpi Navi, maybe they don't have the same Din Melach because they weren't appointed by a Navi, but that may not be the Rambam reads, we'll have to go into it another time. I just want to point out that the role of the Navi, you know, a Navi has the rights, as before, after Ra Shah, a Navi can sometimes suspend something from the Torah. So, for example, we find in Sanhedrin, Peites on Beis, Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, right? Eliyahu Navi, when he's Haftar of Parshas Kisisa, when he summoned all the Nevi Habal to challenge them, you build the Mizbech, I'll build the Mizbech, and we'll see who sends a fire, whose God sends a fire down, right? And then the people all said, Hashem Elohim, Hashem Elohim. You know, the Beis HaMikdash was standing at that point. So how was Eliyahu Navi allowed to build the Mizbech and offer a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash? Shkut Echutz. How are you allowed to do that? Okay, so that's the Gemara sense, and I didn't pay Tesson Bays 62. Eliyahu Bar Kamel, Hekis Samchel Abav Dishu Techutz. Okay, it was different. It was Muchzer Kazanov. He said, long Tosis there, Peites and Beis, in Sanhedrin, Divimasi Eleobar Carmel. He was doing it in the name of Hashem. Now, does that mean Hashem told him to do it, or the fact that he was a Navi is good enough? You know, without the Shem Hashem, one could argue, getting back to our issue, and that's what Tosis discussed there, if you're interested in the subject. It's interesting, Tosis, okay? But basically, he's saying that maybe El Navi, you know, had special right as a Navi, even though it wasn't direct Tziva from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rambam deals with this in Hilchos Sotah Torah, Perek Tes, Halacha Gimel, 65. Navi has the right to suspend something except for three averes. All right, does it mean the Navi had a direct communication with Hashem? What does it mean that you know, that he can do it on his own? That's a great question which Atosus deals with. Bottom line, though, we may suggest that over here also, and relates to our issue. So we said that the Chashmonai, there was no Navi. I thought the Rambam requires a Navi. Now, why do you require, going back to the Rambam in 59, why do you need Bezdin and a Navi? And Hilchos Sanhedrin writes about a Bezdin, because maybe it's a job of the Navi, either, perhaps, as we said before, to override in case there's a problem of Yosef Shem Yehuda, okay? Yosef Shem Yehuda. Sometimes a Navi can override that. That's the job of the Navi, like Eliyahu did in Harakamel, but overrode a different issue in the Torah, okay? Or something else. If we wanted to say that the Malchi Yisrael or our issue in the Chashmonaim had the right to rule because they were doing it for other reasons. Either it was temporary, it was to prepare the Malucha, or they weren't ruling over Eretz Yisrael. You need a Navi, or in the absence of a Navi, the Bezdin, rabbinic authorities, to not necessarily to override, but to make sure they're doing it for the right reasons. So maybe all these things putting together, they were okay. There's another issue, okay, and that is one can say that maybe you need all these requirements and so on for a Melech for the mitzvah of appointing a king. The Gemara says on Hadron Chof and Bay 66, there were three mitzvahs Jewish people had to observe when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi Dafka in this order and so on. Lahamid lahamelech. One is to appoint the king. And that's how the Rambam begins. Hilchos Malacha in Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph 68. Shalosh mitzvahs nitzav Yisrael b'shas k'nisos l'aretz. Limnos lahamelech. Shemar som tosim alech hamelech. So it could be that, yeah, when in order to be mekayim, the mitzvah, meaning a melech, then all these things have to be in place. But if it doesn't mean you can't have a king from somewhere else. Maybe you have a king from a different shevet. You're not mekayim the mitzvah min hamelech, right? But it's valid. So that's another way we could perhaps get out of the issue. Finally, the Ramban also, as we mentioned, the Ramban had suggested a different thing. Besides the problem of Yosef Shev Yehuda, which we've now given a number of ways out of, okay, aside from Yosef Shev Yehuda, the Ramban mentioned, but isn't there a specific limitation upon Kohanim? Again, so we said, well, the Bnei Yisroel says the Kohanim can do it if it's only temporary, but that has to do with the following. The Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, basically what we saw before, Parak Alav Al Chazayin 69, says, Ein Moshe Menel Doros El Kohanim Gidolom Shuvam Chonom Malchum Eistobim Mubad. Okay, you can't be Moshech a Kohen Gadol or only anyone other than a Kohen Gadol or Malchus based David. Okay, so he says, Yerushalmi and Sota, Parakhes Halacha Gimel, same as we saw before from Horiath. Ein Moshech Kohan and Melachim. It quotes the same two reasons, either because Layosher Mehuda or the juxtaposition of those two psukim excluding a Kohanim. It could be that the only Isser based on, yes, how does the Rambam get out of that? We got out of Layosher Mehuda problem. We didn't seem to get out of the other problem that Kohanim are restricted specifically, aside from Yosef Shev Mehuda, which applies to all Shvatim. But what about the Kohanim problem? Maybe the Kohanim problem is only if you give them Meshicha with the Shem and HaMishcha. Ein Moshkin Kohanim Melachim. Okay? And that, maybe that's the Machlok. Maybe that's the Machlokas. If you learn from Yosef Shev Mehuda, then that would say you can't appoint them at all. But if you learn the other Pasuk, it means only can't be Moshech them. So how would the Rambam learn? Rambam could either learn it to Machlokas, and he passes like the guy who says, L'yosha Shem Yehuda, but he learns the Pasuk differently. Or he could say it's not a Machlokas, and the only Isser is Meshicha. And by the Bayesheni, the Gemara says, Newman Nun Beis and Beis, there was no more Shem and Mishcha. The Gemara Newman Nun Beis and Beis says several things were missing in the Bayesheni, the Aron, and various other things, including the Tzlochas Shem and Mishcha. There was no Shem and Mishcha in the Bayesheni. Okay? So therefore, by definition, the Chashmonaim were not anointed with the Shem and HaMishchus, and the problem of appointing Kohanim is not necessarily a problem. That's how the all right, I have two of the Gemara quotes, but the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaMechira, Perek Dal Halacha Aleph in 76. The Rambam writes that the Shemen HaMishkan was taken away, didn't exist. So maybe there's only a problem appointing a king from the Kohanim. That special juxtaposition is only if you're anointing with the Shemen HaMishkan. But if not, again, filling in the blanks with the other suggestion we made, it would be mutter to have a king from the Chashmonaim. So that could well be how the Rambam would hold. And again, we have this interesting machlokas, the Rambam Ramban, regarding the Chashmonaim. I'll just end by pointing out. You look in the Shulchan Aruch and see the Tov Reish Ayin, the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. The Shulchan Aruch says 77. Shulchan Aruch says Bechafe Bekisa Maschil and Shmonos Yemei Chanukah. The Mishnah Brura, it's a Kot Aleph, quotes basically the Rambam verbatim. Okay, Ki Bavai Yisheni Kishemalchol Malchay Vishah Gozu Gzeres Yol Bitul Udah. Somebody and it mentions some of the things the Rambam says, and he says, okay, the Gavru. Look at the third line. Gavru b'nei Chashmonaim k'anam gedolim v'hargum v'oshia Yisrael miyadam v'chazo malchus Yisrael yesa masayim shana v'chorban hasheni. The Mishnah Berurah leaves out the line of v'heimidu melech min hakohanim. He leaves out. It says the monarchy was restored. He leaves that line out. Even though he seems to be quoting the Rambam more or less verbatim, he leaves out that one line, they appointed a king. Maybe, because he's in deference to Ramban, that was a problem, he leaves that line. Other Achonim, the Chayod and the Kishohar quote the Rambam directly with that line, but perhaps it's instructive that the Mishnah Berurah decides to leave it out because maybe he doesn't want to get involved in that whole problem now, in the deference to Ramban, who said it was an Avera. Okay, even though we worked it out, perhaps that's why the Mishnah Berurah left that line out. I'll take the opportunity to wish everybody a Freilich and Chanukah, of course a good Chodesh as well, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll enjoy the last days of Hanukkah.